A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking about mobile workstations. Those things that look like a laptop swallowed a desktop whole and then got packed into a hard case. 27-inch screen, full mechanical keyboard, trackball. It's portable, technically, but you're not exactly throwing it in a backpack. His real question is simple. Who actually uses these things? Because they're this weird middle ground between a laptop and a desktop tower, and on paper, they don't make a lot of sense. So let's figure out who's buying them and why.
I love this category. It's one of those niches where the product seems absurd until you understand the user, and then it becomes completely obvious. These are sometimes called luggable computers, by the way, not portable, luggable. That distinction matters.
Like a small suitcase full of regret.
And the modern version is a fascinating evolution. You've got companies like Getac, Dell with their Precision line. There's a company called ACME Portable that makes these things with 24 and 27-inch screens. They're basically a fully integrated desktop workstation in a ruggedized clamshell case. The case is the chassis.
Who's the person who looks at a laptop and says, not enough screen, not enough keyboard, but I still need to move it between hotel rooms?
The military is probably the biggest single customer. Think about a field command post. You need real computing power, not a tablet, not a thin and light. You need to run simulations, process sensor data, do geospatial analysis. And you need to set it up in a tent, tear it down in 10 minutes, and move it to a new location. A desktop tower with a separate monitor and keyboard is a nightmare in that scenario. Cables everywhere, fragile components, multiple cases.
A regular laptop is too small and underpowered.
The screen size is actually a critical spec. If you're doing satellite imagery analysis or looking at battlefield maps, a 15-inch screen forces constant zooming and panning. A 27-inch screen at full resolution lets you see the whole picture. That's not a luxury, it's a functional requirement.
It's basically a deployable command center in a briefcase.
That's exactly what it is. And it's not just the US military. NATO uses these extensively. Disaster response teams use them. FEMA has them. Any scenario where you're setting up temporary operations in a place with no infrastructure.
What about the oil and gas industry? I feel like rugged computer in a hard case. Screams offshore rig or pipeline inspection.
If you're on an oil platform in the North Sea, you're not bringing a MacBook Air. Salt spray, vibration, temperature extremes, these things are sealed. Many of them are IP65 rated, which means dust tight and protected against water jets. Some are even built to MIL STD 810 standards for shock, vibration, and altitude.
MIL STD 810. The spec that makes engineers smile and accountants weep.
It's a whole taxonomy of abuse. 36-inch drops onto plywood over concrete, operating at negative 20 degrees Celsius. The testing regimen alone is extraordinary, and these mobile workstations pass all of it.
We've got the military and we've got industrial users. What about the more, let's say, civilian adjacent use cases?
This is where it gets interesting. There's a whole subculture of what I'll call the event production users. Live sound engineers, video playback operators, lighting designers. People who do concerts, festivals, broadcast sports.
They need a real machine on site.
They need a machine that can sit at front of house, run Dante audio routing or Resolume video playback, and not die if someone spills a drink nearby. And they need to pack it into a road case and throw it on a truck at 2 in the morning. A desktop PC in a traditional tower is awkward to transport and takes too long to cable up. A laptop doesn't have enough I/O or screen real estate. The mobile workstation solves both problems.
I'm imagining the roadcase version of these things. They probably live inside foam cutout pelican cases.
Some of them AR the pelican case. The computer is literally built into the lid of a hard case. You pop the latches, lift the lid, and there's your screen. The keyboard is in the base. Some models even have built-in speakers, handle, wheels. They're designed to be checked as airline baggage.
Checked baggage computing. There's a phrase that shouldn't exist.
Yet it does, and it's a thriving market. I was reading about one company that makes a model specifically for broadcast engineers who fly to remote locations for live sports. They check the whole workstation in its case, arrive on site, pop it open, and they're live in under 5 minutes.
That's actually compelling. The setup time is the hidden cost with traditional desktops. If you're a contractor billing by the hour, and you spend 45 minutes cabling up a tower, monitor, peripherals, and troubleshooting why the display won't wake, that's real money.
Every time you recable a system, there's a chance something gets bumped loose or plugged into the wrong port. With a mobile workstation, everything is permanently connected internally. The screen, the keyboard, the trackball, the GPU. It's one integrated unit. You open the case, and everything is exactly where you left it.
That consistency argument might actually be the strongest one. It's not just about portability, it's about eliminating variables.
And that's why you see these in medical imaging too. Portable ultrasound and CT scan analysis. If a technician is traveling between rural clinics, they need a calibrated display that's consistent from site to site. You can't rely on whatever monitor happens to be at the clinic.
The calibration is baked in. The screen is factory calibrated and stays that way because it's never disconnected.
And for medical use, that calibration is certified. DICOM compliance for grayscale accuracy. You can't get that with a laptop screen, and you definitely can't guarantee it with a random external monitor.
What about the computing power aspect? You mentioned GPU earlier. Are these things actually workstation class inside? Or is it just a desktop motherboard in a fancy box?
No, they're genuine workstations. We're talking Xeon processors, NVIDIA RTX Professional GPUs, sometimes the A-series or the newer Blackwell architecture cards. Multiple NVMe drives in RAID. Some of them support up to 128 gigs of RAM. These are not compromised machines.
You're getting a genuine $50,000 workstation, just folded into a case.
That price point is worth noting. These are not consumer products. A fully configured mobile workstation from a company like Gatec or ACME can easily run $20,000 to $40,000. Some configurations go higher. This is capital equipment, not a personal computer.
Which means the buyer is almost always an institution, not an individual.
And that shapes the design decisions in interesting ways. The keyboards are often full mechanical switches, Cherry MX or similar, because the users are typing for hours at a time and they want the feel. The trackball is often a military spec optical trackball sealed against dust. There's no touchpad because touchpads fail in wet or dirty conditions.
The input device that everyone forgot about, except for these users, and a very specific kind of ergonomic enthusiast.
I should mention computer-aided design. Civil engineers, architects, mechanical designers who need to go to a construction site or a factory floor with their full workstation. They're running SolidWorks or AutoCAD or Revit, and those applications are brutal on hardware. A laptop with integrated graphics chokes on a moderately complex assembly.
The architect on site needs to pull up the full BIM model, rotate it in real time, check a structural detail, and they need to do it standing in a construction trailer that might not have air conditioning.
They might need to do it while wearing gloves, which is another reason for the mechanical keyboard and trackball. They work with gloves on. Try using a laptop touchpad with work gloves. It's impossible.
The design constraints are actually very legible once you understand the user. It's not a weird product. It's a product for weird environments.
That's a perfect way to put it. The environment is the spec. A normal computer is designed for a climate-controlled office with clean power and a desk. These are designed for everywhere else.
What about the software side? Are they running standard Windows, or is there a specialized OS layer?
Mostly standard Windows. Windows 11 Pro or Enterprise, occasionally a Linux distribution if the user is in defense or scientific computing. The specialization is in the hardware integration and the ruggedization, not in a custom OS. Although some models do have additional security features, hardware encryption modules, self-destruct triggers, tamper evidence seals.
Self-destruct triggers, like the ship in Star Trek.
More like an automatic secure erase if the chassis is opened without authorization. If you're carrying classified data in a war zone, you don't want the machine to be usable if it's captured. Some of these have a small explosive charge that destroys the storage. Others use cryptographic arrays that triggers on tamper detection.
That's simultaneously terrifying and completely logical.
The threat model is real. Imagine a forward-deployed unit with targeting data or intelligence reports. If they have to evacuate a position quickly, they can't always take everything with them. A self-erasing workstation means the data doesn't fall into the wrong hands.
We've covered military, industrial, medical, event production, and CAD. Is there a consumer market for these at all? Even a niche one?
Almost none, and that's by design. These companies don't want consumer customers. Consumer customers generate support calls about Wi-Fi drivers and ask about return policies. The margins on a $40,000 workstation are excellent, but only if you're not doing consumer-level handholding.
The enterprise support model assumes a certain level of competence on the buyer's side. You're not explaining what RAM is.
The buyer is typically a procurement officer or an IT director for an organization. They know what they need, they spec the machine, they get a quote, they issue a purchase order. It's a completely different sales cycle.
There must be some edge cases. I'm thinking of the digital nomad with more money than sense.
There are a few boutique vendors who sell to that market. I've seen a company called Media Workstations that builds these for video editors and 3D artists who travel between studios. But even then, the typical buyer is a professional who can justify the cost. A freelance colorist who needs a calibrated reference monitor on set. A VFX supervisor who moves between production offices.
The colorist use case is actually really compelling. Color grading requires a reference monitor that's been professionally calibrated, and those monitors are heavy and expensive. If you can get one built into your workstation case, that's genuinely useful.
The alternative is shipping a reference monitor separately and hoping it arrives intact and in calibration, which it won't. Monitors drift in transit. A built-in screen that travels in a foam-lined hard case is much more likely to stay calibrated.
The hard case isn't just for ruggedness. It's actually preserving the precision of the instrument.
Think of it like a scientific instrument rather than a computer. You wouldn't ship a mass spectrometer in a cardboard box.
Let's talk about the keyboard for a second. You mentioned mechanical switches. Is there a standard layout, or do these things vary wildly?
Usually, it's a full 104-key layout with a number pad. Sometimes, there are additional programmable macro keys. The keycaps are often double-shot or laser-etched for durability. And the keyboard is typically mounted in the base of the case on a hinge or a slide-out tray.
It's not detachable. It's part of the machine.
In most models, yes. The keyboard and the trackball are integrated into the base unit. Some higher-end models let you swap the trackball for a touchpad or a joystick mouse, but the integration is the point. Fewer separate pieces means fewer things to lose or break.
What about weight? I imagine these are not light.
A fully configured unit with a 27-inch screen can weigh anywhere from 30 to 50 pounds. Some go higher. The case alone is several pounds of reinforced polymer or aluminum. Add the screen, the cooling system, the power supply, the battery backup. It adds up fast.
That's not luggable. I need a hand truck.
Hence the built-in wheels and telescoping handle on some models. They're designed to be rolled through airports like a piece of luggage.
The mental image of someone rolling a computer through TSA is wonderful.
And TSA is actually familiar with these because military and government personnel travel with them regularly. They'll swab it for explosives and send you on your way.
Do these things have battery power, or are they always plugged in?
Most have an integrated UPS, an uninterruptible power supply, that gives you maybe 15 to 30 minutes of runtime. It's not designed for working on battery all day. It's designed to let you safely shut down if power is interrupted, or to move the unit between power sources without turning it off.
That's a distinctly different philosophy from a laptop. The laptop assumes you'll work on battery. The mobile workstation assumes you'll always have wall power, but it protects you from the consequences of losing it.
In field environments, power is often dirty or intermittent. Generator power can spike. A built-in UPS conditions the power and smooths out those spikes, which protects the hardware. It's another layer of the ruggedization.
The UPS is as much about power conditioning as it is about backup.
And that's something a consumer wouldn't think about, but an engineer deploying to a remote site absolutely would.
What about cooling? 50 pounds of workstation in a sealed case sounds like a thermal nightmare.
The cooling design is actually one of the more impressive engineering challenges. They use multiple high static pressure fans, sometimes in a push-pull configuration. The intake and exhaust are filtered and often have baffles to prevent water ingress while allowing airflow. Some models use vapor chamber cooling for the CPU and GPU. It's essentially server-grade thermal management in a portable form factor.
The fans are probably loud.
They can be. Under full load, a mobile workstation can sound like a small server rack. But in the environments where these are used, construction sites, factory floors, flight lines, ambient noise is already high. Nobody's trying to use one of these in a library.
The acoustic profile is basically industrial equipment. And that's fine because it's surrounded by other industrial equipment.
The design constraints are completely different from consumer products. Noise level is way down the priority list. Reliability, serviceability, and thermal performance are at the top.
Serviceability is an interesting point. Can you actually open these things up and swap components?
Yes, and that's a key differentiator from consumer laptops. Most mobile workstations are designed to be field serviceable. You can swap a failed GPU, add RAM, replace a storage drive. The cases have tool-less access panels or captive screws. Some even have hot swap drive bays.
Because if you're in the field and a drive fails, you can't exactly ship it back to the manufacturer for a 3-week repair.
You swap the drive and keep working. The MTTR, mean time to repair, is a spec that gets quoted in procurement documents. They care about how quickly the machine can be back in service after a failure.
The metric that separates toys from tools.
It's not just about component failure. If the machine gets dropped in mud, you can open it up, clean it out, and it will probably keep working. Try that with a MacBook.
I'm now curious about the supply chain for these things. Who actually builds them? Is it all in-house, or are they assembling from commodity parts?
It's a mix. Companies like Gitac and Panasonic Toughbook do a lot of in-house design and manufacturing. Others are system integrators who take workstation-grade components from Supermicro or ASUS and package them into custom cases. The case itself is often the proprietary part. The electronics inside are fairly standard.
The value add is really the integration and the ruggedization.
Getting a MIL STD-810 certification or an IP rating requires actual testing. It's not a sticker you can just buy. The testing costs are significant, and they're amortized across a relatively small production run. That's part of why the per-unit cost is so high.
Which loops back to the institutional buyer. Only an organization that absolutely needs the certification will pay for it.
The certification is the product, in a sense. You're not just buying a computer. You're buying a computer that's been proven to survive a specific set of environmental stresses.
If I'm a civilian who just wants a big screen and a mechanical keyboard in a portable package, am I out of luck? Is there a consumer version of this?
There's an emerging category that blurs the line. Portable monitors have gotten really good. You can get a 17-inch or even a 21-inch portable USB-C monitor that's thin and light. Pair that with a mechanical keyboard and a high-end laptop, and you've got a DIY version of the mobile workstation concept.
You're still dealing with cables and separate components.
The integration is what you're paying for with the real thing. The DIY approach gets you maybe 70% of the functionality at 20% of the cost, but you lose the ruggedness, the calibration, the single case form factor, and the field serviceability.
The single case form factor is probably undervalued until you've actually tried to set up and tear down a multi-component system repeatedly.
There's a reason Rode cases exist for audio gear. The entertainment industry figured out decades ago that pre-wired racks that stay connected are worth their weight in gold. A mobile workstation is the same idea applied to a computer.
It's a pre-wired rack that happens to be a single computer.
And just like a pre-wired rack, the value is in the hours you don't spend cabling and troubleshooting.
What about the software-defined side of this? Are there use cases where the mobility isn't about physical ruggedness, but about rapid deployability in a secure context?
Think about cybersecurity incident response. A team gets called in to investigate a breach at a company. They need to bring their own clean hardware, machines they know aren't compromised. A mobile workstation lets them bring a full analysis rig, set it up in a conference room, and connect to the target network through their own secured channels. When the investigation is done, they pack it up and leave no trace on the client's infrastructure.
They know the hardware hasn't been tampered with because it's been in their possession the whole time.
Supply chain security for hardware is a real concern. If you're doing forensic analysis, you can't trust a machine you just bought off the shelf. You need hardware with a known provenance. A mobile workstation that lives in your secure facility and travels with your team is a controlled asset.
It's not just about surviving harsh environments. It's also about maintaining a trusted computing base across locations.
That's a use case that's growing. As more organizations deal with sensitive data and compliance requirements, the idea of carrying your own trusted hardware to a client site becomes more appealing.
Let's pivot slightly. Are there any interesting developments in this space recently? New screen technology, new materials?
OLED screens are starting to appear in some models, which is significant because OLEDs are more fragile than LCDs. Getting an OLED panel to survive MIL-STD-810 drop testing is a real engineering challenge. A few companies have managed it by using reinforced glass and shock-absorbing mounting systems.
OLED in a ruggedized case. The contrast ratio must be incredible for field use in bright conditions.
Actually, OLEDs can struggle in direct sunlight because they're not as bright as high-end LCDs. But for indoor or shaded use, the contrast is phenomenal. And for color-critical work like grading or medical imaging, the black levels matter a lot.
What about connectivity? Are these things bristling with ports?
Multiple Ethernet ports, often 10 gig, multiple USB ports, Thunderbolt, sometimes legacy serial, and parallel ports for industrial equipment. Some have modular expansion bays where you can add custom I/O cards. The assumption is that this machine will be connected to a lot of specialized equipment.
In the year of our Lord 2026,
industrial equipment has a very long life cycle. There are factories running machines that were installed in the 90s, and those machines talk RS-232. If you're the technician who needs to diagnose one of those machines, you need a serial port.
The past is never dead. It's not even past. It just uses DB9 connectors.
That's another reason these workstations exist. A modern thin and light laptop with nothing but USB-C ports is useless in that environment. You'd need a bag full of dongles, and dongles are failure points.
The dongle bag of shame.
Which nobody wants in a rainstorm on a factory floor.
We've established that the mobile workstation is a highly rational product for a specific set of users. But I want to go back to something you said earlier about the DIY approach. Is there a middle ground? Someone who buys a ruggedized case and builds their own system inside it?
There is a small but enthusiastic community of people who do exactly that. They'll buy a Pelican case, mount a motherboard inside, attach a portable monitor to the lid, and build their own luggable. It's a fun project, and you can get a surprisingly capable machine for a fraction of the cost.
You don't get the certification.
You don't get the certification, you don't get the thermal engineering, and you don't get the warranty or support. But for a hobbyist or a small business with less demanding requirements, it can make sense.
I'm imagining the forum threads. My Pelican case build, water-cooled RTX 6090, 32-inch screen, 65 pounds.
Those builds exist and they're glorious. There's one I saw where the builder integrated a full water cooling loop with quick disconnect fittings, so the radiator could be external when the case was open. It was completely absurd and also completely functional.
The spirit of hot rodding applied to computers.
And that hot rodding impulse is actually where a lot of innovation comes from. Some of the features that eventually make it into commercial products start as hobbyist experiments.
Let's talk about the market size. How many of these things are actually sold each year?
It's hard to get exact numbers because most sales are B2B and not publicly reported. But the rugged computer market overall, which includes rugged laptops, tablets, and mobile workstations, was estimated at around $8 billion globally a few years ago, and it's been growing. The mobile workstation segment is a small slice of that, probably in the low hundreds of millions.
It's a real market, but it's niche.
It's niche, but it's stable. These aren't products that get refreshed every year with a new design. A model might stay in production for 5 or 6 years with only internal component updates. The customers value continuity.
Because they've validated the platform. They've tested it. They've written their deployment procedures around it. They've trained their people on it. Changing the form factor breaks all of that.
That's something the consumer tech press completely misses when they review these things. They'll say the design looks dated or it's too heavy. They're evaluating it against the wrong criteria.
The design is dated because the design is proven.
Proven and trusted. If you're deploying 500 of these to the field, you don't want a sleek new design. You want the same design that survived the last deployment.
There's a lesson in there about how different markets evaluate products. The consumer market values novelty. The institutional market values stability.
The institutional market is less visible, so we tend to assume it doesn't exist or doesn't matter. But it absolutely does. Some of the most interesting engineering happens in products that consumers never see.
The invisible infrastructure of computing.
And mobile workstations are a perfect example. They're not glamorous, they won't win design awards, but they solve real problems for people who do critical work in difficult places.
I want to circle back to one use case we touched on briefly, the video production world. I feel like that's the one area where a regular person might actually encounter one of these in the wild.
If you've ever been to a large concert or festival and looked at the front of house area, you might have seen one. The video playback operator often has a machine that looks like a small suitcase with a big screen. That's a mobile workstation.
The audio world has similar needs. Running a digital audio workstation with hundreds of tracks, real-time processing, virtual instruments, that takes serious horsepower.
Audio processing is extremely sensitive to timing. A dropout of even a few milliseconds is audible and unacceptable. These workstations are optimized for deterministic, real-time performance in a way that consumer laptops are not.
The same machine that can survive a sandstorm can also run a symphonic orchestral template without glitching.
The Venn diagram of survives sandstorms and runs contact libraries is a single circle, apparently.
The Hans Zimmer of rugged computing.
I wonder if Hans Zimmer has one. He probably does.
He probably has five.
They're probably all custom.
To answer the original prompt, who uses these things? Military personnel, disaster responders, oil and gas engineers, live event producers, broadcast engineers, medical imaging technicians, architects on construction sites, forensic investigators, factory automation specialists, and Hans Zimmer.
That's actually a pretty good summary. It's a diverse set of users united by a common need, genuine workstation performance in a form factor that can be transported, set up quickly, and relied upon in non-ideal conditions.
The reason they seem weird to the average consumer is that the average consumer has never had to set up a computer in a tent in a desert.
Or on a factory floor at 3 a.m, or at a crime scene, or on a film set in the rain. The constraints that define these products are invisible to most people.
Which makes the mobile workstation a kind of Rorschach test for understanding someone's relationship to technology. If you look at it and think, why would anyone need that? You've probably never done the kind of work that requires it.
That's a great way to frame it. The product makes no sense in a vacuum, and it makes perfect sense in context.
What about the future of this category? Are we going to see them get thinner and lighter, or does the mission inherently require some heft?
I think the weight will come down slowly as components get more efficient, but the form factor is probably stable. The 27-inch screen is a hard requirement for many users, and you can't make that smaller without defeating the purpose. What we might see is better battery integration, more efficient cooling, and maybe some interesting developments in materials, carbon fiber cases, that sort of thing.
Carbon fiber would help with weight, but it's expensive and it doesn't handle impact the same way reinforced polymer does.
Carbon fiber is stiff but brittle. A Pelican-style polymer case absorbs impact by deforming slightly and bouncing back. Different failure modes.
The polymer case is actually the better engineering choice for the use case.
In most scenarios, yes. It's another example of how consumer intuition, carbon fiber is premium, doesn't always map to the right solution for a specific problem.
The premium material is the one that works.
The one that's been validated through decades of use in military and industrial applications. There's a reason Pelican cases look the way they do. The design has been iterated on for a very long time.
There's something satisfying about a product category that's optimized for function over form. No design by committee sleekness, no obsession with thinness. Just, what does this need to do, and how do we make it do that reliably?
It's almost relaxing to think about. No marketing-driven feature lists, no spec sheet wars.
The anti-consumer electronics.
Yet, If you're the person who needs one, it's the most beautiful thing in the world.
I believe that. There's beauty in something that just works, every time, no matter what. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In inuktitut, a single word can express what requires an entire sentence in English. For example, tusa atsiarunangitulu junga means, I can't hear very well. This is because Inuktitut is a polysynthetic language where complex ideas are built by stacking suffixes onto a root word, each suffix adding a specific grammatical meaning like negation, tense, or degree. One word can contain the information of an entire clause.
I feel like I need a suffix for. I didn't expect that to go there.
I'm going to use that next time someone mumbles. This has been My Weird Prompts. Our thanks to producer Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, tell someone who's ever had to set up a computer in a weird place. We're at myweirdprompts.com. I'm Korn. I'm Herman Poppleberry. See you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.